Would you pray with me? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from Psalm 104, starting in verses 24, and it's to be found in page 555 in your pew Bibles. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Friends, our scripture is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And if you'd like to follow along, that's on page 119 in your Pew Bibles. Listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church today. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So allow me to offer a few words of reflection on the story you just heard, a story that is likely familiar to many of you. And I want to start by first saying that Pentecost is not solely a one-time event in the past. Pentecost is a reoccurring event. It is a living movement and is here today in the present moment. The book of Acts begins dramatically with a stunning promise, a promise of the Spirit. Jesus says, quote, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so today, as we celebrate Pentecost here in 2025, I want you to hear these words afresh in a little bit of a Laura contextual way. Friends, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Bellingham and in Whatcom County and in all of Washington and in the United States and around the globe in the midst of post-pandemic, anxious, polarized times. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Pentecost is not a solitary event of the past. Pentecost is a reoccurring movement of the Spirit of God. Pentecost is an experience. In fact, the Spirit is here right now in this sanctuary. It's in our individual hearts and our inner being. It's also here corporately. It's the Spirit that unites us with Christ and with one another. At its core, Pentecost is the promise of the Spirit in the witness of the gathered faithful. The beginning of our text today states, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." And Jesus had told the 11 to stay and to Jerusalem until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they weren't the only ones gathered in that space. Pentecost was already a holiday. I don't know if you knew that. It was an Israelite feast day where new grain is given as an offering to God. It's basically an ancient holiday weekend, kind of like 4th of July or Memorial Day, but it's a feast day. And if you will, and the larger community is out and about. It's not just the 11 gathered. The larger community is out and celebrating and gathering together and making preparations. And so something that intrigues me personally is how the pouring out of the Spirit was not just an experience for the 11. It overflowed into the community, to all who were gathered in that space, all who were touched and impacted. Each person was radically included into intimate relationship as they heard their native tongue, their heart language, spoken. And for any of you who speak a second, third, or fourth language, you understand this feeling of being known. It's sort of a nostalgia, an intimacy when you encounter someone who speaks your primary, your heart, your first language. And it's really not about the language at all. The language is just a signal for something deeper. It's a sign that, hey, you know my culture, you know my history, you know my experiences, you know me in ways that other people just can't fully understand. So on this day of Pentecost, my holy imagination is picturing the Spirit pouring out here, trickling down on all of us. All of you, especially who call St. James home. But it's not just you all here who are gathered. It's trickling down to all who gather in this space. So I imagine that includes the various AA groups who meet in this building, the choir rehearsals, the committee meetings, fitness classes, all the various community partners who come in and out of this building each week. And then in the Spirit's abundance, I imagine it seeps out the cracks of the walls and the doors and the windows, and it blows over the neighborhood, across neighbors across the street, those who are walking their dogs, those who are setting up community events, maybe farmers markets, those who are checking their mail, those who are pouring a cup of coffee and enjoying it on their patios. The Spirit always ripples and ripples out abundantly and overflows into the community. Pentecost is a radically inclusive movement. It's not just for the people of God, it's for everyone. It includes all languages and all nations and all people. It's not just for some of us, it's for all of us. It's bigger than we can fully fathom or imagine. And in a divided time where our nation is polarized and hurting, Pentecost fosters a new community where all matter, all belong, and all are beloved children of God. It's the ultimate reversal. It's the dream. It's something that humankind cannot seem to accomplish on their own. There are no dividing lines. Man-made walls are broken down. Polarizations are made void. We can barely fathom the fullness of the inclusive revolution of the Spirit. Our text tells us that as this Pentecost miracle took place, the people were amazed and astounded, and they asked, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" And in my mind, it means that we are better together. It means that all people have value. It means that the revolution of love is here. It means that we can overcome hate. It means that we can heal. It means that we're not alone. It means that all people are included in the family of God. Pentecost is a promise of the Spirit and the witness of the gathered faithful. Galileans, Judeans, Mesopotamians, Asians, Romans, Libyans, Cretans, Arabs, all radically included in the family of God. Young, old, male, female, non-binary, Republican, Democrat, independent, fat, skinny, rich, poor, citizen, immigrant, refugee, undocumented, neurodiverse, all abilities, gay, straight, trans, healthy, sick, happy, depressed, energized, and weary, all are radically included in the family of God. Amen. All right. Ooh, you guys are, you're fun. You're not the frozen chosen after all. Great. Pentecost is a promise of the Spirit and the witness of the gathered faithful, not for some of us, but for all of us. And all that matters is that we come together. The Spirit of God will pour out and take care of the rest. And the text tells us that some folks didn't like this. And let me tell you, after many years in church ministry, there are always the curmudgeons. Always. Every community's got at least one, if not several. Some folks didn't like this. They wanted to keep the status quo. They wanted to maintain the divisions of the world because that meant they retained power. They did not want to change. They didn't want a Pentecost revolution of love and radical inclusion. They said, they're drunk. They tried to discredit the movement. And so I wonder, how many times has someone said to you, you're too young, or you're too old, you're not smart enough, you don't know what you're doing, you don't have enough experience, you're irrational, you're emotional, they're drunk. But Peter stood up and said, you know what, you are wrong. We are not drunk. In fact, we're sober-minded. We are the gathered faithful. And Pentecost is here, and there's nothing you can do to stop us. We will witness, and we will show up, and we will tell the world the good news, and we will proclaim the way of love again and again and again until God's promised day. Just as the prophet told us that God will pour out the Spirit on all people, we will not stop until the prophecy is fulfilled and that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is saved. So friends, the good news for us today, as we celebrate again this holy day of miracles and possibility, is that Pentecost is a promise of the Spirit in the witness of the gathered faithful. My prayer for us this morning is that we would stay curious and open-hearted to whom the Spirit may include in our community, and that we would be open to the unexpected leading of the Spirit in this gathered community and beyond. So may the Spirit of God pour out on us again today, afresh and anew, and may our witness amaze and astonish all that we meet. So let us pray. Oh God, sometimes we get stuck in pessimism and skepticism. We think that the world is a glass that is half full. But then we remember again that you are a God of abundance, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, the impossible can be done, and that your Holy Spirit fuels the kingdom, this our dream, this fullest reign of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So God, may your Spirit blow over us today, and may it seep into the neighborhood, and may all who feel the Spirit feel your unconditional love and that radical inclusion of your Spirit. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.